We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And hello again. My Music is a panel game in which the correct marks are scrupulously recorded, and then at the end we don't even bother to see what they are. The marks are as important as that, and in that, if in nothing else, we are unique. Well, we're also unique in having a cast that consists of Ian Wallace, Dennis Norden, John Amis, and Frank Muir. Ian Wallace, the first question goes to you, as always. Something quite magnificent begins, after a brief introduction, like this. What is it and by whom?
Something magnificent indeed.
Yes.
The St. Matthew Passion of Bach, a work that I had the briefest possible contact with, in that I sang a part in it but once in the whole of my career. Quite early on, dear Kathleen Ferrier was in the performance. It was given at Glyndebourne, as a matter of fact.
Was it? Yeah.
In a time when I was an opera singer, and opera singers really are regarded by some other kinds of singers as the rough soldiery of the musical profession. And having been sort of belting away at Rossini and Puccini and so on, I really wasn't very good at this beautiful, exquisite music that appeals so much to the intellect as well as the other senses. And I don't think I was very good. And everybody was very nice about it, and I've never been asked to sing it since.
Well, as you say, it was St. Matthew Passion by J.S. Bach. A listener in Ely in Cambridgeshire found a newspaper review in which the critic was complaining about translating Bach's St. Matthew Passion into English from the original German, Ian. And the headline read, "Difficulty of Passion in English." Go down well with our overseas listeners, I think so. Dennis, two singers here, very different kind of music, two singers from a Hollywood musical. Who are they?
I know that you know that I'll go where you go.
I choose you.
Can't lose you.
I wish you knew how much I long to hold you in my arms.
Yes, she was rather unsuitable for it. He was a bit better. It hit the deck, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, the film. Yes,
Jane Powell.
Yes,
and Vic Damone.
Vic Damone, very smooth, creamy voice. Jane Powell and Vic Damone singing "I Know That You Know," or as I prefer to say it, "I Know That You Know." You can get quite a lot of fun out of repunctuating song titles.
Well, it was a thing that we indulged in for a time,
The royal we is you and Frank.
We and Frank. Whenever we have no separate identity.
Only in commercials.
I was trying to think of. Oh yes, I saw you last night and got that old feeling. another one, as I remember, is if you repunctuate it, is "Love is where you find it."
You've got two marks. There's two to everybody in this round, I should think. John, there's one particular British singer, wonderful artist, whose voice is an absolute joy. Unfortunately for me, I love her most of all in Elgar. And the result is that whatever she's singing, it sounds to me as though Elgar wrote it. John, and which composition?
I think it was George Bernard Shaw. In fact, I know jolly well it was.
No, it wasn't.
That there are two. There is one thing that should not be demanded of a man, and that is to listen to Brahms's German Requiem twice.
Yes, a dreadful thing to say, but he said it.
Yes.
It was the... No, it wasn't the German Requiem. No, it was not. You've caught us out.
Oh, well, then it's the other thing, the Alto Rhapsody.
Alto Rhapsody, yes. And the singer?
Janet Baker.
Yes, Dame Janet Baker. We give him the two, I think, don't you? Yes. Although we got the wrong piece. What a
Thank you, madam.
That was a very fervent yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mrs. Davis.
Can I have my two marks and not the question?
No, I think you'll enjoy your question. I hope you will. Anyway, it's a little more Brahms for you, actually, Frank. It's part of the second piano concerto. Frank, 3 years before writing that, in other words, in 1879, not that it matters, Johannes Brahms grew a beard and gave his reason for doing so, not perhaps the reason one might expect. Why, Frank, did Brahms grow a beard?
Well, he was a pale lad, you recall, and had rather a lot of hair. And in the tram in Vienna, a lad got up and said... Wollen Sie sitzen, Fräulein? Then you grow a beard.
Well,
it's well known.
Yes and no.
It's a well known fact. It is. Yeah. 2 miles.
I'm going to quote Goldsmith at you, who said, "Error is ever talkative." Quote one of your own 18th century writers. Actually, you get the marks, why not? Brahms said, on growing the beard, rather an odd remark, "I do not want to look like an actor or a priest." And I would have thought that priests wore beards then.
And actors do.
On to some more or less random musical matters. Ian, what have these three in common? Gilmont, Vienne, and Carg Illet.
Well, what they have in common is that I don't know anything about any of them.
Oh, Gilmont.
They sound rather like... They're
all in the good food guy.
Well, they sounded to me rather like those... Names of early motor cars, you know, a six-cylinder, what was it, a Clark Ellen? petrol-injected
Well, you're curiously warm because they're all rather mechanically minded, as well as taking a place in a musical game like this.
Yes.
They're all tracker bashers.
Yes, tracker bashers, that's right.
It's something to do with organs.
Regal tracker bashers, yes. Well... I don't know what to do about this. I suppose give John...
I think just declare a moratorium and pass on.
We'll do that. Yes, so they're all... Gilmont, Vienne and Carg Ellet are all organ composers.
I did not know that.
No, well, there you are. Dennis, who said, "You don't have to be different to be good, but if you're good, you're different"?
César Franck.
And you know I can't deny it.
I say that because if this program were to last for 1,000 years, yes, you could not ask me a question which I would know the answer to be César Franck.
This is the time you say those words.
Exactly. If I therefore say, answer a question that I don't know with ringingly confident César Franck.
Yes.
It might just come up.
Well, I'm in a difficult position here because I don't know that César Franck didn't say that. He lived a long and fruitful life, didn't he?
You realize that if I dominated the musical world, I could be referred to as César Franck.
Yes, you could, wouldn't you? Yes.
Not very likely.
Not Julius Caesar, but...
Could happen.
Frank Caesar, yes. Why don't I give Dennis the mark if he or Ian can tell me in what language César Franck said, "You don't have to be different to be good, but if you're good, you're different"?
No, that's, you know...
Ian, what language did he say it in?
He said it in Belgian, I
think. Yeah, that's what he said it in. That's right. Why don't you get the... Split a mark between you, I think, for that.
Well, I suppose there might be those who would write in and say that Flemish or...
Well, yes, it's a Walloon or something.
There was a film, wasn't there, in which Peter Ustinov was trying to toot for people and tried all the languages... and finally shouted derisively after the last couple had left him, "Chapa Belge!"
Top carpet. Yes, top carpet. The person who said, "You don't have to be different to be good, but if you're good, you're different," was a great composer, but the most undifferent of all the great popular songwriters, Irving Berlin.
Really?
The one who said it, yes. John, who composed an opera called Dylan?
Thomas.
No, Ambroise Thomas. No, not
Holbrook.
Yes. Do you remember his first name?
Joseph.
Joseph Holbrook, 1878 to 1958. I looked up Joseph Holbrook in the Oxford Companion to Music, and it said at one point, as a conversationalist, he was vigorous, even violent. Frank, different kind of music. Matilda Wood, born in 1870, had become Bella Delmere by 1885. Who was she by 1920?
Engelbert Humperdinck.
No. Actually, no. I can give you five names.
Operatic.
No, far from it. Matilda Wood, Bella Delmere, she was Mrs. Courtney, Mrs. Hurley, Mrs. Dillon, and then by 1920 she was much better known under yet another name.
Musical.
Yes. Especially known by the boy up in the gallery.
Murray Lloyd.
Murray Lloyd, yes. Murray Lloyd. As Belle Delmere, she made her debut, and she died in 1922,
the
of course.
The boy I love is up in the gallery.
Later, Frank, later.
Love is looking down at me.
That's right.
There he is.
Lovely, lovely song. Lovely song, I think. Yeah. And on to the next round, which features a great performer and composer who was born in 1899. That makes him in period, though not in nationality, a Victorian. He certainly doesn't sound very Victorian. Listen.
Look out for that rocking chair while you nearly drift and hit it. Look out for that slippery stair. Now you did it.
Ian, whose voice?
Well, I don't suppose he was called in 1819. I don't suppose he was christened in 1899. What he was eventually called?
No.
What was he christened? Hogarth.
Hoagland. Hoagland. Yes. The only baby with a matchstick in his mouth.
Hoagie Carmichael.
Hoagie Carmichael. Yes. One mark to you, Dennis. Hoagie Carmichael wrote some fine songs, and of course one classic in particular. But as so many successful writers do, he grew tired of his greatest hit. Listen to what he himself did to it.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song and the melody haunts my reverie. And I am once again with you.
The melody may haunt his reverie, but not in that form, I would have thought. It's odd, isn't it, the composer changing it like that. Odd, by the way, too, Dennis, that the drummer on that record was Spike Jones in his younger days. Really? He was a session musician. Whose words, Dennis, for Sawdust?
Mitchell Parrish.
Yes.
I've been saving to say, whenever Sawdust came up, about a man who had hay fever so badly that he even sneezed when they played Stud.
Now I've said it.
I don't know, I feel sort of empty. Numb.
Lord, it's a bit numb too, I thought.
Perhaps Frank Sinatra was allergic, that's why he did that record, just singing the verse, didn't risk
the chorus. John, back to Hoagie Carmichael. He collaborated with Johnny Mercer for this song.
One night long ago by the light of the moon, an old music master sat composing a tune. His spirit was soaring and his heart full of joy, when right out of nowhere stepped that little colored boy. You gotta jump it, music master. You gotta play that rhythm faster. You're never gonna get it played on the Happy Cat Hit Parade. You better tell your friend Beethoven and Mr. Reginald A. Coben. They gotta do the same as you, or they're gonna be corny too.
Mr. Reginald De Coven. Tell me something about him, John, for a mark.
De Coven.
Reginald De Coven.
Never heard of him.
Oh, really?
Should I have? Is
yes.
He a composer?
Yes.
Reginald de Koven.
He's an American composer.
How do you spell it? D-E-K.
D-E and then new word, K-O-V-E-N.
Did he have another name?
No, well, Henry Louis Reginald de Koven, 1859 to 1920.
You know this Big Louis, but he was terribly well known. He was in America, yeah, yeah. And he was a rather sententious composer, wasn't he?
You know about him, do you? Do you
well, no, but I'm guessing...
Yes, you were.
What Hoagie Carmichael wouldn't like about him.
Well, all that Johnny Mercer liked about him was he's the only rhyme for Beethoven in the world, surely.
Yes.
Beethoven and de Koven. He was an American composer. He wrote Robin Hood, The Canterbury Pilgrims, Rip Van Winkle, huge scores. He was also a critic of, I thought, of some note, but evidently not. This John doesn't die. Frank.
No.
Frank, another Hoagie Carmichael song. In your case, who's the singer?
Georgia. Georgia. The whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
Singer.
Well, he's not a patch on Nat Ganella. But he's Ray Charles.
Yes, Ray Charles. Known in the profession for quite a long time as the genius. She's going it a bit strong, I think.
Yeah, a little, yeah.
Yes. Have you ever been called the genius? I haven't.
No.
thank the Lord. Yeah, Ray Charles. The song composed in 1930 by Hoagie Carmichael. You get the mark. And the score at the moment, a tie.
Brilliant.
A literary critic once wrote that all art constantly aspires towards the condition of music. He was writing about painting at the time, and in the history of painting there have been repeated associations with the art of music, canvases and compositions with the same title. For example, one that leads me to Ian's question in this painting and music round. Ian, what's the connection between this music and Vincent van Gogh?
By a piece of luck, I know the music.
Well, then you'll know the answer.
Oh, the music is something from Bizet's La Lesienne suite.
Well, just never mind the suite. Just translate La Lesienne.
Well, the young lady, I think it was from Arles.
I knew you were an art expert, and so you proved to be.
Oh, yes. Oh,
the painting by Van Gogh.
The Girl from Arles.
The Girl from Arles. It's...
How sad to think that Van Gogh could never hear... Stelio.
Yes. Come to think of it, yes. Dennis, what can you tell me about this painting?
Whistler's mother-in-law.
Yes.
Sorry,
that's the song. Yeah. Yes, and the painting would be...
Would be Whistler's mother.
Yes, mother of the artist. Mm.
Have you thought of those sort of great losers of history, like Whistler's father or Signor de Milo or the Sabine men...
Or the miserable cavalier. Never got painted. Anyway,
What was it about Whistler's mother? I never knew.
Well, nothing about her.
Nothing about
her. Just a lovely picture.
The idea of full profile, yeah. I suppose. Mm. It's in the Louvre, if anybody wants to go and see it. And the tune was a great favourite. Do you remember here, George Evans used to sing it with Giraldo's band.
Yeah.
That's on a different artistic plane, of course, but never mind. And Mark... John, there's another famous painting in the Louvre which depicts some survivors from a shipwreck. It dates from 1819. Almost 150 years later, a composer used the same title for an oratorio. Can you name the composer and even perhaps the painter?
Hans Werner Henze.
Yes, Hans Werner Henze.
The Raft of the Medusa.
Yes.
The painter is either Géricault...
Yes. Go no further.
Go no further. Yes. All right.
I was thinking it was that other fellow who wrote the journals, Delacroix.
Yes, the other Frenchman, as you might say. Yes. Good choice. Anyway, Géricault was right, and Hans-Werner Henze wrote the oratorio in 1968.
Balls off Géricault.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Frank, let me turn back to the piano for yours.
Played, but
very good.
It was you.
Yes, thank you. When I play it, who might you expect to see at any moment?
Your piano teacher.
No. She ran away from home, actually.
Aren't they nasty,
Steve? Yeah, aren't they horrible, yes.
What was the question?
Oh, who might you expect to see on hearing that tune?
Valentin le Dissocié. La Goulou.
Yes. Oh, lovely, yes. That's right.
In other words, all the inhabitants of Toulouse-Lautrec's world.
Which was the one with the chin and that top hat? Was that...
That was Valentin de Saussure.
Yes, wonderful
the
face.
The boneless.
I see him from time to time in London, don't you? Now and again in crowds, yes. Toulouse-Lautrec.
It was the theme song from that...
Yes, Georges Auric wrote it for the John Huston's film Moulin Rouge. Just before introducing this final round, in which the singing is led by Dennis Norden, let me remind you of a character in She Stoops to Conquer who says of somebody, I loves to hear him sing because he never gives us anything that's low. Dennis, how true that is, isn't it?
Oh, after I said that rotten thing about you, Steve...
No, there you are, I see.
You know how to give a guy guilt, don't you?
It's meant to be confidence. Because I want you, if you will, to borrow the words of Johnny Mercer, underline the positive, cut out the negative, and have no truck with Mr. In-Between at all.
You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
Very good.
About all.
That's
yes,
about
I
all.
Think
yes,
that'll do for now.
I never liked it anyway, actually.
No.
John, there's a character called Wallace in a Puccini opera. At one beautifully melodious point in the saga of the Polka Saloon, he recalls his folk in the homestead way back yonder. Can I give you an introduction? Yes. I think you've got it, haven't you?
There aren't any more Wallaces in opera, are there?
Yeah. Not as far as I know.
No.
I am thinking of the folks in the homestead. In the homestead, way back yonder, are they sitting lone and sad? Are they weeping? Do they wonder if I'll come back home?
Interesting about that. Did you know the girl from the Golden West was taken from a play by David Belasco, and Puccini looked, I think, for something like 6 or 7 years for a new sub for an opera, and he saw this play, and he didn't take too much notice. He didn't speak very good English anyway, and then all of a sudden an old man came on, called Wallace, singing this song, the dog tray, the old dog tray, and Puccini said, "Aha! I got a team for my opera, huh?" And that's what started it all off.
Birth of Girl of the Golden West.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, some time ago we heard about the lady who went out walking silenced blackbird, thrush, and indeed all the songbirds. Your lady makes them go tweet, tweet when she walks down the street. Can you manage that?
When my sugar goes down the street, all the little birdies go tweet, tweet, tweet. And in the evening when the sun goes down, it's never dark when she's around. She's so exciting, and I'll tell you this. When she kisses me, I sure stay kissed. When my sugar goes down the street, all the birdies go tweet, tweet, tweet.
That was a taxing accompaniment, I can tell you.
Your fingers out there.
This one, yes. This one, maybe, I think. Ian, concluding this all-American round, you've got no car, no mule, no misery, nothing. but it's enough, according to Gershwin.
Okay, like a key.
It's a difficult song, this, I always think.
Yes, like an introduction or just a key.
I find every song a difficult song. this one I don't think I've ever got right. Let's have a go at it, anyway. I got plenty of nodding, and nodding's plenty for me. I got no car, I got no mule, I got no misery. The folks with plenty of plenty got a lock on the door. Afraid somebody's going to rob them while they're out of making more. What for? I got no lock on the door, that's no way to be. They can steal the rug from the floor. That's okay with me, cause the things that I prize, like the stars in the skies, are all free. Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got my gal, I got my song, got heaven the whole day long. No use complaining, got my gal, got my Lord, got my song. Yeah.
For Ian, it's heaven the whole day long. For our listeners, half an hour of escapist rubbish. A victory. A victory for nobody this week. In fact, a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.